जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమునా తీరావనచారీ యమునా తీరావనచారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారే 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 జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద్ పరమహంస్ పరివ్రాజకాచార్య స్తోతర్షత్ శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జయ. జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద్ పరమహంస్ పరివ్రాజకాచార్య స్తోతర్షత్ శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శీల భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జయ. అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృంద కీ జయ. नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय. प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास सति गौर भक्त वृंद की जय. श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय. ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय. श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय. गंगा माई जमुना माई की जय. तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय. श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय. ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज. ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज. ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज. ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 9 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 19. अस्यानुभावं भगवान् वेद गुह्यतमं शिवः देवर्षिर् नारदः साक्षात् भगवान् कपिलो नृप अस्यानुभावं भगवान् वेद गुह्यतमं शिवः देवर्षिर्नारदः साक्षात् भगवान् कपिलो नृपः अस्यानुभावं भगवान् वेद गुह्यतमं शिवः देवर्षिर्नारदः साक्षात् भगवान् कपिलो नृपः अस्यानुभावं भगवान् वेद गुह्यतमं शिवः देवर्षिर्नारदः साक्षात् भगवान् कपिलो नृप Matajis. Word to word meaning. Asya of him, anubhavam, glories, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Veda, knows, guhyatamam, very, very confidentially, Shivaha, Lord Shiva, Devrishihi, the great sage among the demigods. Naradaha, Narad. Sakshad, directly. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Kapilaha, Kapila. Nripa, O King. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King, Lord Shiva, Narada, and the sage among the demigods, and Kapila, the incarnation of Godhead, all know very confidentially about his glories through direct contact. Pure devotees of the Lord are all bhavas, are persons who know the glories of the Lord in different transcendental loving services. As the Lord has innumerable expansions of his plenary form, there are innumerable pure devotees of the Lord who are engaged in the exchange of service of different humors. Ordinarily, there are 12 great devotees of the Lord, namely Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kumar, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Bhishma, Janak, Shukadev Goswami, Bali Maharaj, and Yamaraj. Bhishma Deva. Although one of them has mentioned only three important names of the 12 who know the glories of the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of the great acharyas in the modern age, explains that anubhava, or the glory of the Lord, is first appreciated by the devotee in ecstasy, manifesting the symptoms of perspiring, trembling, weeping, bodily eruptions, etc., which are further enhanced by a steady understanding of the glories of the Lord. Such different understandings of bhavas are exchanged between Yashoda and the Lord, binding the Lord by ropes, and in the chariot driving by the Lord in the exchange of love with Arjuna. These glories of the Lord are exhibited in his being subordinated before his devotees, and that is another feature of the glories of the Lord. Shukdev Goswami and the Kumaras, although situated in the transcendental position, became converted by another feature of bhava and turned into pure devotees of the Lord. Tribulations imposed upon the devotees by the Lord constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and the devotees. The Lord says, "I put my devotee into difficulty," and thus the devotee becomes more purified in exchanging transcendental bhava with me. Placing the devotee into material troubles necessitates delivering him from the illusory material relations. The material relations are based on reciprocation of material enjoyment, which depends mainly on material resources. Therefore, when material resources are withdrawn by the Lord, the devotee is 100% attracted toward the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Thus the Lord snatches the fallen soul from the mire of material existence. Tribulations offered by the Lord to his devotees are different from the tribulations resulting from vicious action. All these glories of the Lord are especially known to the great Mahajans like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Kapila, Kumara, and Bhishma, as mentioned above, and one is able to grasp it by their grace.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara
श्रीवास्तदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो भीष्मा इज इंस्ट्रक्टिंग युधिष्ठिर महाराज। Shukadeva Goswami had 7 days, 7 nights to speak. So he has not gone into the details. A lot of it can be found in other scriptures, like this conversation between Bhishmadeva and Yudhishthira is easily must be 100 pages in Mahabharata. So Shukadeva Goswami has chosen the most important details and he has spoken here. Here Bhishma is talking about the confidential nature of the Supreme Lord. Anything which is confidential is not easily understood. And the great personalities cannot be easily understood. And what to speak of someone like Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And if we have to understand him, if we have to approach him, we have to approach him and try to understand him on his terms. He has made his terms very clear in the Bhagavad Gita itself. Yes, many scriptures talk about it, little, here and there. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna personally speaks. Now, if somebody we want to please, we can keep offering things, okay. We can offer different types of cuisine. Eat this, eat that. And we may be guessing this will please him, but the person may be miserable. So the best way is when the person speaks for himself. Oh, this is what I like to eat. This is what I like to wear. This is what I like to do. Yes, so other scriptures do speak about Krishna being the Supreme Lord, and maybe Puranas might mention indirectly or directly little bit about devotional service. But Krishna leaves no scope for further speculation in the Bhagavad Gita. That is where he is personally speaking as to who can understand him. And he says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Only through the path of bhakti can I be known as I am. And he has mentioned it not once, but quite a few times in the Bhagavad Gita. He tells Arjuna, you can understand me, you can understand my instructions because you are my devotee and you are my friend. Neither through dhyana, jnana, karma, all these processes are incomplete without bhakti. Whereas bhakti in itself is complete, even if there is no karma, jnana or dhyana. And the goal of jnana, dhyana and karma is to ultimately come to the level of bhakti. And bhakti means engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. Till the platform of jnana, there is some selfish motive. And essentially the person is still serving to some extent his own senses. And that comes in the category of lust. The desire to satisfy one's own senses is lust, as Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is prema, love? The desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. So only in bhakti can there be true love. Because only when there is love, we want to serve someone selflessly. Till jnana level, there could be some intellectual titillation that is giving us some pleasure. Dhyana or karma, there is some subtle pride, or I am also doing something. Subtly, we might not say it, but we feel it. So, bhakti is the only path because it is free from any selfish desire. So, this is the only path through which Krishna gets conquered. and Krishna is known. He reveals himself. Because let's not go that far. We ourselves would not reveal ourselves to a person whom we see is selfish, has some ulterior motives, whom we can't trust, or who is only worried about his own sense gratification, even if it's little. So we will not reveal our secrets to such a person. We won't allow that person to come close to us, because anyone who is controlled by his senses, that person can change any moment. Why? Because his desire is to satisfy his own senses. He may be talking nice things, but since that is his consciousness, that's what the demons are. Kansa, he became very nice to Vasudeva and Devaki. When Vasudeva brought the first child, as promised. But Vasudeva, when he is going back, he is understood that he can't be trusted because his senses are not in control. So when personal sense gratification is the goal, such people can never be trusted. They can change any moment because their goal in life is my satisfaction, my happiness. So as long as we maintain this consciousness, as long as we, till we come to the platform of trying to give pleasure to Krishna, and that too through thorough testing, when Krishna understands that yes, this person is qualified, that's when he starts revealing his secrets. Otherwise, even if he's standing in front of us, we will not be able to understand his glory. Duryodhana saw Krishna as much as the Pandavas. But because he had no bhakti, he had knowledge, but he had no bhakti. So even when he saw the semi-universal form of Krishna, he could not understand. He thought it must be some Mayavi, a magician, somebody who's creating some illusion. So the path shown by God, path shown by Krishna is very simple. And the path of bhakti is much, much simpler than karma, dhyana or jnana. And more practical, even a child can perform. Yet the most difficult. It is so simple that we miss it. It is difficult for the complicated minds. It is difficult for those people whose desire in life is personal sense gratification. And to the degree we become free from that desire, and that depends on how we become purified. To the degree we become purified, to that sooner we will be able to understand the Lord and develop faith. So, purification happens through regular hearing, and that is the process of sadhana bhakti. That is the process of regulated devotional service. That means giving up voluntarily under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master the desires for our own sense gratification. Sense gratification is not forbidden, but it is done under some regulation. We can't do it whimsically. And that's how we gradually get trained up. And then as we get purified, little by little, then we come to the platform, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. And life is not simply about I, me and mine. It's not about my pleasure. Ultimately, if I want happiness in life, I have to start giving pleasure to Krishna. Like Prahlad Maharaj says, Naivatmanah prabhurayam nijalab purno manam janadya vidushah karno vrnito yadyajjano bhagavati vidhitamanam tachatmane pratimukhasya yathamukha shri. And in this one verse, Prahlad speaks the secret of happiness. And he gives the analogy that, my dear Lord, you are the, just like when something is offered to a person who is standing in front of a mirror, the image in the mirror, the reflection in the mirror automatically gets it. So if we put a necklace around the neck of a person in front of a mirror, the image in the mirror will also have it. If the person, the real person smiles, the image in the mirror will also smile. So he says, my dear Lord, you are the real person, we are the image in the mirror. This is the secret of happiness. So if the Lord is smiling, we will also smile. So if we want to smile forever, we have to make sure that there is a smile on the Lord's face. And what pleases the Lord the most is anything which is done with love and devotion. It's not that we have to do big things. He says it clearly. Patram pushpam palam toyam. But he says bhaktya tadaham bhakti uparitam. It has to be done with love and devotion. He's not saying it has to be done with knowledge, karma, dhyana. Sing with bhakti. Even if you offer me something as insignificant as water, leaf, fruit or flower, I shall accept it. If it is done with love and devotion. When Krishna is speaking to Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maitreya Rishi also comes. And he also sits and starts listening. But it's mentioned that Krishna just kept on speaking to Uddhava. He didn't even pay much attention to Maitreya Rishi who was sitting. The reason is because Maitreya Rishi was a jnani. And Uddhavji is a pure devotee. So we can easily, safely say that Krishna doesn't even look at those who are not bhaktas favorably. He remains neutral. And jnana means I want to have more jnana. So that I is still there. The pride is there, the desire to satisfy our own senses is still there. So till we become free from that, Krishna won't even mercifully look at us. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a story. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Lord Chaitanya has appeared in this world to teach us by his example the right way to lead our life, the right way to perform devotional service. And how did he teach? Sankirtan. He would simply do Sankirtan. So that is what he came to teach us. So if there is no Sankirtan in our devotional service, then we are lacking somewhere. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the holy name, the Sankirtan specially. So if there is no Sankirtan happening, our devotional service is not considered complete. Sankirtan is the key. It has the potency to counteract all the ill effects of Kali Yuga. Regularly coming together and singing the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Lord Chaitanya has come, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, to teach us by his own example. And this is the most prominent thing that he taught. Everything else that he did or taught was, it comes later, that is secondary. The first and foremost thing that he taught is the Sankirtan. Because that will take care of everything, our relationships, our spiritual advancement, our mind control, sense control, everything will fall into place if Sankirtan is in place. If this is not in place, other things will have to put in a lot of effort. So regularly being a part of Sankirtan is the key. Once His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj, he quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, if you take care of the Yuga Dharma, what is Yuga Dharma? Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan. Then the Yuga Dharma will take care of you. I think Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or another Acharya, one of his books he writes very emphatically. I don't remember all the details. He says, if someone wants this, Kirtan is the gateway. If someone wants this, Kirtan is the gateway. If someone wants liberation, Kirtan is the gateway. Very emphatically he mentions. And then he says, if someone wants to enter bhajan, Kirtan is the gateway. If somebody wants to be absorbed in bhajan also, wants to gain that absorption, it is not possible through without Sankirtan. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach this, and at the house of Srivas Thakur, he would regularly have Sankirtan, not regularly, daily, to be precise. And Srila Prabhupada mentions when they came together, they just did three things. They chanted Krishna's holy names, they worshipped Krishna, and they discussed about Krishna. Hari Kirtan, Hari Seva, Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha, and Hari Puja. Three things. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that if our movement remains faithful to these three principles, discussing Krishna, chanting Krishna's names, and worshipping Krishna, there will be no impediments. And practically, we have no other work except these three. Everything will happen, and Prabhupada demonstrated it by his own example. Simply having his little drum, kartals, he just chanted. He just spoke Harikatha. Even to those people who didn't understand his accent, they didn't know who Krishna is, Lord Chaitanya is. But he had full faith that once this sound vibration enters their heart through their ears, it will purify them. And once they get purified, they will automatically become more and more receptive. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was regularly doing Sankirtan behind closed doors to avoid the envious. Because the envious people would make fun of the devotees. They would ridicule them, they would sometimes try to harm them verbally, or they were even talking about harming them physically. Let's throw their houses in the Ganges, they are just howling all night. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to avoid that disturbance, he would do the Sankirtan behind closed doors. So even he taught that how we must be avoiding envious people. It's not that they are envious and we just continue. It is like Rupa Goswami also mentioned, there are three categories of devotees. So there has to be some discrimination, who we associate. We respect all, but how much association we take from particular devotees, that also depends on if we take association of more. Of course, we never consider ourselves very advanced, but the principle is the devotees at the second level. Rupa Goswami mentions how person who is on the second stage, one is the Paramhansa, pure devotees, Madhyam Adhikari, they avoid the envious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Paramhansa, but is there to preach. So he is avoiding the envious, making friends with the devotees, respecting every devotee, and at the same time avoiding the envious. So not everybody was allowed to enter the Sankirtan. And especially at night, Lord Chaitanya would dance and sing, and he was there throughout with the devotees. But some of the people in Navadvip, they were not envious, they were pious and they were favorable. They also wanted to participate. One of them was a simple-hearted Brahmana, very austere, and he wanted to be a part of this Sankirtan. And he requested Srivas Thakur that please allow me to be part of Sankirtan. And this Brahmachari was only subsisting on milk. He was that austere, he wouldn't eat anything, he would only have little milk every day. Very austere. And Srivas Thakur was very kind. Devotees are more merciful than the Lord. But he allowed him. He said, I can't directly take you. The Lord has to sanction that. But definitely I can take you inside my house. You should hide. You should not come in front. The Lord may not like it. Because unless one is qualified, one cannot enter into the association of the Lord. One cannot enter into a satsang. So that night when Lord Chaitanya started dancing, after some time he says, oh, I'm not feeling the same ecstasy. Maybe someone is here who is not supposed to be here. And Srivas Thakur very diplomatically said, my dear Lord, there are no atheists here. He didn't say that there is no one. He said there are no atheists here. And he was right. And Lord Chaitanya again started dancing. After some time, he says, no, I'm not feeling the same ecstasy. Someone who is not supposed to be here shouldn't be here. Another lesson Lord Chaitanya is teaching, that the ecstasy of devotion or devotional activities increases in the association of devotees. And if there are people who are not on the same page, then our ecstasy or those spiritual emotions, they might face impediments. So again, it boils down to the association, who we associate with. So then Srivas Thakur had to reveal. He couldn't just lie to the Lord, and especially when the Lord is someone who knows everything. Then he brought this. He said, my dear Lord, there is no atheist, but there is one brahmachari. He is very austere. He only drinks milk. He wanted to have darshan of your dancing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, bring him here. Srivas Thakur brought him. And Lord Chaitanya was apparently upset externally. He says, what do you think? Do you think simply by drinking milk you can attain Krishna's mercy? Simply because you think you are very austere, you can see me? He said, what tapasya did Gajendra perform? Gajendra is an elephant. Now this is a glorious chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is supposed to be Paramahansa Samhita, the highest scripture ever written by Vasudev in the maturity of his spiritual realization. And Bhagavat is quite vast. And Shukadeva Goswami has chosen the most important episodes from the history of the creation, different manvantaras, and he has chosen among those which he could speak within those 7 days and seven nights to Shukadeva Goswami, the story of an elephant. Now in today's world, if the great sages, munis might feel offended. You have written about an animal in a book and you're not writing about me. That's an insult. But there must be something behind this. So Gajendra is an elephant. Bhagavat is teaching that to attain the mercy of the Lord, gender, caste, age, or social status, none of these things are the prerequisites. The only qualification is devotion, love. Then only. So Lord Chaitanya asked him, what austerities did Gajendra perform? Now Gajendra is an elephant. Elephants are supposed to be not that intelligent. And Shukadeva Goswami is telling the story of an elephant to a Parikshit, the king who is supposed to die within the next 2 days. And he is telling him about an elephant when he is supposed to be thinking about the Lord. And he left everything. Parikshit had left everything when he heard the news of his impending death. He left everything to absorb his mind in the Lord, to only think of the Lord, whatever time he was left with. And here Shukadeva Goswami is telling him the story of an elephant. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers, to that very state one shall attain without fail. Whatever bhav we have at the last moment, whatever thoughts, that's what we attain, the next body destination based on that. So Parikshit Maharaj couldn't be thinking of an elephant. But this was not an ordinary elephant. This was an elephant who took shelter of the Lord, was personally delivered by the Lord because of the deep devotion that he expressed. Lord Chaitanya asked, what devotion did Pingla have? Now, Gajendra's story comes in 8th canto. Pingla's story is 11th canto. That means it's the last day of Shukadeva Parikshit Maharaj. And Pingla is a prostitute. So last moments he should be thinking about God. Why should Shukadev Goswami, who is the crestjewel of all sannyasis, the topmost renunciant, a sannyasi, why should he talk about a prostitute first of all? And secondly, why should he talk about her in the last few moments of the king? He had just few moments left. It was the last day. Because Pingla, although she was a prostitute, but she became glorious, and that is why her name is in Bhagavatam. There have been so many glorious kings and queens and other personalities and rishis and munis. Not everyone has found a place in the Bhagavad that Shukadev Goswami spoke. These are the chosen ones. A prostitute has found a place in Bhagavatam just because she turned to Krishna with devotion. Whereas the great munis and yogis have not found a place. A great elephant has found a place in Bhagavatam because he turned to Krishna. So the key is turning to Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna. And whoever turns to him, his name and fame is eternal. His life becomes glorious. Dhruva, he had not even gone to school. He had not even gone to school. And when the Lord appeared, he wanted to offer prayers. The Lord touched his head with his conch shell. That's how the prayers started just pouring out. So he had not... He just simply acted as per the instructions of his guru. Like here Bhishma says, Narada and others, they know the glories of the Lord, and through their grace, we can also know. So it was Narada, one of the 12 Mahajans, who blessed Dhruva Maharaj. And within 6 months, he attained. Because, and if you might say, oh, but he performed tapasya. And here you are saying, with tapasya, we can't attain the Lord. No, he didn't just perform tapasya. Tapasya was just the initial part. All that breathing exercise was simply to take the mind away from other subject matters and focusing it on the Supreme Lord within the heart. Along with that, the main thing that Narada Muni had asked Dhruva Maharaj to do, to make a deity of Krishna, go to Madhuvan, which is in Vrindavan, make a deity of Krishna, from the mud, from Jamuna, take bath in Jamuna every day and offer whatever little you can offer. And Narada Muni gives a list of things that he could offer. Root, fruit, leaves, or freshly sprouted leaves. And he says, if there's nothing else, offer freshly grown grass. Just see. And that is Krishna. So if only tapasya was the prerequisite, why would somebody offer, be advised to offer grass? Along with that, he said, chant his names, which is devotional service. Worshipping deity is a devotional service. Along with that, he said, when you chant, you must remember his pastimes in your mind. Devotional service, smaranam, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, archanam. So these were the main things. So yogic postures which Narada taught Dhruva, they were just meant to just control our mind a little bit, like we also sometimes do deep breathing and all. But the main was so that he could focus the mind on the form of the Lord within his heart and then engage in the devotional service of the Lord. So Dhruva achieved perfection because of this. Even today, the remembrance of the Lord, these three things, deity worship, and chanting the Lord's holy names and remembering his loving pastimes, they can bring us face to face with Krishna in no time. These three activities have such potency that we can't even imagine. So Gajendra has found, a 5-year-old boy who had not even gone to school has found a place in Srimad Bhagavatam. A prostitute has found a place. An elephant has found a place. In fact, Bhagavata is known as that scripture in which Vritrasura's story is found, a demon is glorified in Bhagavatam. So sometimes Bhagavat is understood this way. Which scripture is Bhagavat? Oh, that scripture in which we find the story of Vritrasura, not Indra. Vritrasura. Because even though he had the body of a demon, but internally he was a great devotee. That's why his name has become synonymous with Bhagavat. So Bhagavat is not glorified for jnana, karma, dhyana. In fact, these things are kicked out thoroughly. Dharma prochit katavatra paramo nirmat saranam satam. The second verse of Bhagavatam itself says all these kind of cheating religious principles have been thoroughly kicked out. And Bhagavat establishes the highest truth. Only through bhakti. We want Krishna's mercy, we want Krishna's grace, we want Goloka, we want this. It is only possible through bhakti. The path of bhakti. And all other paths are simply or should simply be assistants to this process. If our jnana, dhyana and karma does not lead us to bhakti, engagement in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with hearing and chanting, then we have simply wasted our time unnecessarily. And if somebody is performing bhakti, he should be understood to have already gone through the process of dhyana, jnana. He is already fulfilling those obligations. He doesn't need to separately do, because the goal of that is already reached. The goal must be understood. Like suppose we are running a marathon, 5 kilometers, and in the middle only we stop. So what is the purpose of running? You have to reach the finishing line. So finishing line in spiritual life is bhakti yoga, engagement in the devotional service, because ultimately all these scriptures are meant to bring us to a platform where we can achieve the maximum grace of the Lord. So how is it possible if we don't even come close to Him? All other paths, they might become stumbling blocks. Sometimes people get stuck, they have mental block. But unless they come to the platform of devotional service, under the guidance of one of the Mahajans, contemporary or the ancient, the great devotees of the Lord, till then it's impossible. And it is a fact. Yes, bhakti is the only way to understand and know Krishna and achieve His grace. He doesn't even look at karmis, dhyanis and jnanis. But how does that bhakti appear in our heart? As Bhishma mentions here, only by the grace of the great bhaktas, great devotees. As Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has analyzed this, bhakti has no cause. Bhakti is the only cause of bhakti. And nobody can say, oh, I did this, so I became a great devotee. I did this, so I have so much devotion in my heart. No. Bhakti is independent of any other cause. Bhakti is the only cause of bhakti. What that means, just like sometimes in villages you have hand pumps. I don't know how many of us have done it. But when you just pull that handle, the water doesn't come out. So sometimes you put water into that hand pump and then you pull, it comes out. So that water which goes inside pulls more water. So that is how bhakti acts. That is the meaning of bhakti is the cause of bhakti. So there is bhakti in someone's heart and that bhakti becomes the cause of bhakti getting transferred or appearing, manifesting in our heart. There is no other cause. It is causeless. So all our efforts, and even in devotional service, are simply to show Krishna that we want that bhakti, we want that grace. And He is ready to give that grace when He sees that sincere effort to achieve that platform of devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, even they cannot give devotion if Krishna is not pleased. So all these are efforts to please Krishna. Once He is pleased, by His mercy, things will manifest. So if He is not pleased, even if the bhakti is performed mechanically, How will he get pleased with processes which have no tinge of bhakti like karma, dhyana and jnana? It's not mechanical in Krishna's realm. So that's why Srila Prabhupada, he has saved us. Sometimes if we think, okay, we can, as we preach, we can easily say, oh, these people, they don't know the higher, they don't. But we are fortunate that we have been saved. Otherwise, we would have been in the same category, where everything is one. All are good, all are nice. Whichever path you take, you reach the same destination, although it has no logic. It's not that you eat Karela and you get the taste of Gulab Jamun, or you drink Karela juice and you get the benefit of drinking some juice, other juice. Not that we get into a flight going to Delhi, we will end up in Bangalore. So all paths, how can they lead to the same goal? All paths are meant to lead us to that ultimate goal. But thing is, we get lost. And we get stuck. Again, because of the complicated minds. And Srila Prabhupada, he gave us the crystal clear understanding of what is what, who is who in the creation of the Lord, and what is to be done, what is not to be done. Simply through the process of chanting, hearing, remembering, deity worship, one can get the benefit of all kinds of rituals, jnana, dhan, dharam, tapasya, and much more. And in that, Srila Prabhupada engaged all the devotees and he inspired to share this with others, to preach. There is a verse from, I think, Agni Purana or one of the Puranas, a very hope-giving verse. It says, now, if we travel to all the holy places within the creation, how much benefit can we receive? How much piety, how much advancement we can make. Just imagine. All the holy places within the creation we have traveled. How much piety we can acquire by performing all the Vedic rituals. Every ritual. Each ritual has the desire, the potency to fulfill a particular desire. So what is it that we cannot get if we perform all the rituals perfectly? What is it that we cannot achieve by traveling to all the holy places? The kind of blessings and grace and the advancement that we can make. What is it that we cannot achieve by performing all kinds of tapasya mentioned in these scriptures perfectly? We have the example of demons. They could get whatever they want. Whatever they wanted. Tapasya. So imagine if we have performed all kinds of tapasya, what is it that we cannot achieve? What is it that we cannot get in future if we perform all kinds of charity, because whatever we share, that comes back to us in future. So all kinds of charity, traveling to all the holy places, performing all kinds of Vedic rituals. What is it that we cannot know by studying all the scriptures? So this verse says the benefit of visiting all the holy places, performing all the Vedic rituals, performing all kinds of tapasya, performing all kinds of Vedic study, performing all kinds of charitable acts. All combined together, a person receives all of it combined together simply by turning one person to Krishna. If we can connect one person to Krishna, this verse says, and the scriptures are the absolute truth. It is a fact. They say, the benefit of traveling to all the holy places within the creation, performing all kinds of Vedic rituals, performing all kinds of tapasya, giving all kinds of charity, and performing all kinds of scriptural study, one gets simply by turning one person to Krishna. That is the power. And Srila Prabhupada, how simply he has engaged us in this service. And the credit goes to him and all the previous acharyas, the present and the previous acharyas. And we are, whatever we are, it is because of them. It's their teachings that we are sharing with others. And the whatever credit we are getting, that also belongs to them. So nothing is ours. It is just the hard work that they have done. They have made it very simple. Dhyana, jnana, karma would have been so difficult. But how is it that a person who is just few days old and he can understand Krishna, but there are many yogis, munis and jnani, they have written big books, and if you ask them who is God, oh, it's very difficult, God is nirakar, and so many things they can say. Or there is no God also sometimes. So, and the reason is because they have not received the grace of a Mahajan. Once we receive the grace of the great devotees of the Lord, the journey becomes smooth and easier, and we advance swiftly. That is why the greatest benediction Prahlad asked, Vibhishan asked, Dhruva asked, is that, my dear Lord, allow us to stay in the association of your devotees always. Because the association of devotees means the journey on this path becomes smooth. It's easy. And therefore, Bhishma Deva here mentions, Prabhupada mentions, all these glories of the Lord, how Krishna is merciful to his devotees, why he puts his devotees through trials and tribulations, why he did Ras Leela, why he married 16, non-devotees cannot understand. But for devotees, they don't even have to think. And they see it as an ornament on Krishna's character. Non-devotees, because they can't understand, they see it as a black spot, because they lack devotion. So Prabhupada clearly writes, all these glories of the Lord are especially known to the great Mahajans like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Kapila, Kumar and Bhishma, as mentioned above. And one is able to grasp it by their grace. So only when a person receives the grace of a Mahajan can he be elevated. Only when a person receives the grace of a Bhakta, not a Jnani, Karmi, Dhyani, but of a Bhakta, can a person become a Bhakta himself. And thus know Krishna's glories. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram.